So Lent is the period of time leading up to Easter. It is a time that Christians prepare themselves for the most religiously significant moment in their calendar. It is the death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Our Unitarian tradition sources many paths to wisdom, and today I'm going to dip a little bit in part into the Christian tradition. There is nothing really like this period of reflection in the secular calendar. In the secular world, there are holidays, but they're usually single days for celebration, not periods of time, unless you count perhaps the shopping cycle leading up to Christmas, or preparing for school. That could be something that we maybe unintentionally have created as a period of preparation. It often begins somewhere in the middle of summer, usually the beginning of August, about a month before the classes begin. The period of time has a sort of a built-in reflective element, I remember, and you may have all experienced this. It begins when one starts to mark that turning point in summer, when thoughts of that new class, a new beginning, begin to creep in to your heart and mind, culminating in that last fling of holiday and preparation on the Labor Day weekend. And then that morning you wake up, that first day of class, of school. Sometimes you have new clothes to climb into, and you head off into this brand new day, year of adventure and unknown events. Now, Lent is a little bit like that cycle. The story of Jesus' journey towards his death and resurrection begins with a period of reflection, of preparation in the desert. 40 days of preparation. In the story, he knows what lays before him. He knows that his death is inevitable. The period of Lent, culminating with Easter, lends itself to reflection then, or preparation to what is essential in our lives. Many Christians use this time of preparation by fasting and deep prayer to simplify their lives, to focus their lives, to help them focus on what is essential. You know, this past week I've heard so many people, non-Christians, some Unitarians, saying that they want to give up something for Lent. It makes me think or wonder that this might be just a natural human need in our human journey, that we need a ritual of focused reflection. Giving something up or fasting is a method to help clarify to ourselves the choices that we make every day. When one intentionally chooses to become conscious of one's habits or addictions or the reflective patterns that clutter our lives, we have the opportunity to have more freedom. Fast from food is an easy place to start. You can see eating. You can see food. You can see that food is an essential part of our existence, yet how and what and when we eat becomes often habitual patterning. Food preparation and consumption can absolutely take over our lives. Food can become very complicated. It can change from being simply fuel into a psychological blanket that comforts and protects. It can turn into an extension of our personality, as when we become vegetarians or vegans or carnivores. We can turn food into a drug that numbs our pain and our discomfort. Food can become more than simple fuel. It can become a cluttered trap, the very opposite of freedom. When I first fasted for a long period of time, which was many years ago, I noticed after the first few days that my thought patterns around food began to dissipate. And I became aware of how much of my time was taken up thinking about food, the hours of preparing it, buying it, needing things about it, certain tastes and smells and textures. But mostly it was about the thinking that went into it, that kind of clung to the actions. And the longer I fasted, the less I began to think about food, and the more space I had in my brain for other thoughts, gentler thoughts, less clingy thoughts, more spacious thoughts. And the longer I fasted, the more I became aware of my body. I moved differently, more gently, perhaps. And I felt lighter. I certainly didn't lose any weight, so I'm not talking about pounds. I'm talking about a sense of relationship with my body and gravity. I gained insight into what my body actually needed, which was far less than I thought it did. And the longer I fasted, the more sensitive I became to my body senses. The other senses grew stronger and fed me in different ways. The smell of air I could actually taste on my tongue. The texture of things like wood and grains and trees and walls communicated new information. And the sounds of dripping water or the wind through leaves, told stories about a connection that I became even more aware of. So our lives get cluttered with what we think is essential, like food, which I agree, it is of course essential, but far less than what I think most of us imagine. Our lives get cluttered with appointments and meetings, with very important events, causes, entertainments, people needing things, needing more and more things, clothes and housewares and books, and even, I think for some people here, needing more ideas, new ideas. Even that can clutter us. Our lives get cluttered with the emotional flotsam and jetsam debris of life, with habitual frustrations and angers, habitual thought patterns like needing to be right or always feeling wrong, or that life is unfair, habits of me-isms and them-isms or important-isms. Not so simple as dumping the contents of a drawer or decluttering the shelf, which is often a good thing to do, decluttering our brains and our hearts and our lifestyles takes more focus and intention. Whether or not you embrace the Christian story, the process of intentional reflection over the course of a month or longer can lead to a deeper understanding of yourself, and it can reconnect you to the meaning of the journey that you are on. Or it can support a reconnection to the essentials of life that are your foundation and inspiration. In the Lenten story, Jesus faces his death, as we all are. More clearly than anything else on the human journey, we share the common knowing that we all will die. There is nothing more helpful, I submit, than the knowledge of our own demise to focus what is important to us. In this cycle of Lent, one gets an extended, almost leisurely period of time to reflect on that reality. So framed with this knowledge, how do I prepare to die? How do I prepare for my own death? What I witness, both in myself and in others, is a natural arising of the question, what is important? What is necessary for me? And obviously, what is not? Am I cluttering my life with unneeded busyness? Am I binding myself with habits of thinking and feeling that are getting in the way of what's really important to me? I know I do. And I suspect that we all do to some degree. We all have those habits of thought and feeling, psychological habits and physical habits that do not serve us. They get in the way of greater freedom, greater love, and even greater justice. In our theme cycle this month at Beacon, we are reflecting on simplicity. And there is a tie-in here between reflecting on what is essential to each of us and considering how we might make our lives more simple. I've certainly witnessed it in family and friends and Beacon members who, when they face death, make choices to make their lives more simple. For Saint David, the patron saint of Wales, what was essential for him was a spiritual life, a life lived for depth and for God. David was a bishop in Wales about 500 years after Christ died. David established many monasteries, both in Wales and England, and he believed that life should be lived austerely, extremely austerely. In his monasteries, the monks worked all day in the fields, plowing them without animals, praying constantly, not speaking unless it was an emergency, eating only vegetables and bread, drinking only water and milk. And of course, he did the same. And although recognized as a great orator, David is most famous not for a grand and flowery speech, but for a simple phrase that has come down 1,500 years. That we should concentrate on doing the little things of life with conscientiousness and devotion. Just do the little things in life. He didn't choose to be a saint. He was just a man living his life the best way he knew how. He chose what was essential for him and devoted himself to it, proving that one life lived simply can be a life lived with dignity and integrity. Like going to school in the fall, the student can anticipate the joy of learning things. In the journey through the wilderness to death, the Christian journey can anticipate the resurrection at the end of the story. And in the coming of spring, we can all anticipate that out of the frozen winter ground, as was said earlier, the crocus will push up out of the frozen earth. And those colors of yellow and white and purple will come back again. In the seasons of nature and in the seasons of the human journey, the most important moments are often very simple. The cost of our arising is far less than what we might think. But not to rise is more expensive than we can imagine. So be it.